We're here at Fringe Central. There are buzzy networking events happening, but we're going to talk Fringe. I'm going to talk to two shows here. They both sound different from each other. You're going to tell me your name?
I'm Jane.
Jane Marshall. Jane Marshall.
Claire Redaway.
Claire Redaway. So, first of all, Jane, tell us the title of your show and what it's about.
Cry for the Moon. And it is a Pink Floyd-inspired drama. It's based on a true story regarding the recording of Wish You Were Here album at Abbey Road Studios in 1975. Sid Barrett had been kicked out of the band for a number of years, and on the 5th of June in 1975, he turned up at Abbey Road Studios, absolutely unrecognisable. And
so you've been detectives, really, to create this show?
Just a bit. It's been really interesting researching it, because all the band members, everybody that was involved with that, have got different recollections of what happened that day, so that's given me the chance to come up with my own version of events.
And where was the idea from, the initial idea to do this?
It's an image. If you Google Sid Barrett, there is a photograph that comes up that shows that they took on this day that he turned up, and he's absolutely unrecognisable. He's gone from like the Mark Bolan type look into something completely different, and it was that image that set me off with this.
We've got one of the actors here. I'm just going to bring you in on this. Right, okay. Remember when you were young? You shone like the sun. That song, for people that know, Shine On You, Crazy Diamond. Why was he a crazy diamond?
He was a bit of a lost soul. He unfortunately was one of the early casualties to LSD. And because he was so creative, I think that combination, he just lost his mind quite early on. Plus the pressures of being in a band that were very successful at such a young age. And the band, I think, went on without him. They couldn't take him with, so he was waylaid and he got left behind, unfortunately.
Now, a different show, a solo show here at the Fringe.
No, not a solo show. No,
it's my assumption.
it's a show called Little Potatoes. It's about matchmaking mums in the Shanghai marriage market who want to get their 20-something kids married to each other, and as the story goes on and they're plotting and machinating to get their kids wed, we find out about the China one-child policy and their experiences during that time.
So that's not a solo show.
It's not. It's like it's got two wonderful sort of rather older East Asian actors, female actors in it, and they multi-role. So one of them plays one of the leads and is also a family planning officer, and one of them plays a sort of an old hag in northern China, as well as a young woman. And it's they're fantastic.
And how did that potato get planted and grown to become a show?
Well, it's because, like what you did there, I last year wrote a play that won an award. It was called The Red Court, and the winning of the award meant that we took the play to China. However, it was too political, so they kept saying, "Oh yeah, you can put it on," but not yet, and eventually, it was never put on in China, although they took the whole cast and all of the crew out there to do it. But while we were out there, and the two actors who are in the play here were with me, we stumbled on a marriage market in a Shanghai park, which was these women sitting behind umbrellas with their daughters' CVs pinned to them, with, you know, when it was all their name, their salary, whether they owned an apartment, kind of things. And they were selling, no, they weren't selling, they were haggling over matchmaking for their kids.
Now, how did that get made into a show? What was the process? Did someone write a script?
I wrote the script. I had lived in China in the 1980s, so I'd had loads of conversations about the one-child policy with women then. And I talked to a lot of, I did some workshops with some Chinese students at Bath University, and found out what it's like being a young woman in China today. And, you know, they're all called leftover women. I mean, it's astonishing, this government thing that they've all got to get married by the time they're 30 and have their kids. Anyway, I thought it was really interesting. It was the individual affected by politics. It's the politics and the individual which really interested me.
Now, both of you, come back to Cry for the Moon, both of you have had to do research to get this thing on. That's interesting, because good plays have to have truthfulness at the heart of them. There's a lot of myth around Sid Barrett. How did you determine what was true and what was myth?
Well, I'm a huge Pink Floyd fan, and I was given some really good material to look at, good books and all the rest of it. But I think one of the things that I was advised by a writer that does historical plays is only go so far, because if you try and stick too close to the facts, then your play might become very stilted. So I only took it up to the point at which this man or this person turns up, and then the play veers off into a completely different direction. So I've got all that background. I've probably in my head written lots and lots of different versions of this to get the background up to the point at which Cry for the Moon is here now. But I've also had 2 years worth of development with it. My actors helped me a couple of years ago with some workshops, so we've had some fun with it over the last couple of years, sort of moulding it into what it is today. But yeah, the research does help. It's and it's been so interesting to get the background of these characters, you know, get it sorted that way.
And so courageous to bring to write a play like that, and of course it needs to be here at the Fringe and people need to see it. What do you think about the danger that this can't be seen in the very place that people need to see it?
What, in China? I don't know. I think it would be lovely to think that it could be one day. I mean, we had connections with the Shanghai Theatre Academy. They were very keen to put on the political play that wasn't... I mean, I'm going to send them this. Maybe they can put some of it on. I don't know. I mean... I think it's really good that someone knows about the one-child policy, that story is out there for us to get some awareness of what China's like and what it has been like. And it's such a significant force in the world today. And we don't really see it as plays on the British in the British theatre.
So, Fringy listeners, these are two very important stories, important for very different reasons. Stories that needed to be told, therefore, Fringe shows that need to be watched. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much.